Clerk lock the roll. Anyone wish to change your vote? Clerk tally the board. Shall the House unanimously has passed Senate Bill 139. Mr. Majority Leader.
Would ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on Senate Bill 139 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause?
Objection, the roll call vote on the passage of the bill will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause, thus adopting the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item?
Committee substitute for House Bill 229, Finance, entitled an act relating to special medical parole into prisoners who are severely medically or cognitively disabled. The bill is in third reading.
Under debate, Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's an odd to be carrying this bill since I originally blocked its passage from the Finance Committee for a couple of days, but improvements were made on the bill. You know, our Alaska correctional system is increasing in number and cost, and the co-chair behind me has certainly been in the middle of that struggle of trying to adequately fund this department and meet the costs. The department, which is certainly not very politically popular to fund. This legislation before us seeks to make amendments to the medical parole provisions, which to allow folks that, in the department's view, after going through some very strict procedures, are no longer a threat to society. Primarily, they're mostly on their last legs and last days. But once they're out, while they're in prison, they're ineligible for other coverage such as Medicaid, Medicare, Indian Health Service, and in many cases veterans benefits. So we're not necessarily just throwing them on the streets, but it would remove a cost from the correctional system. There were some important provisions put in this bill in the Finance Committee, including a victims' rights provision, which requires notification to victims. The member from District 25 tightened the language to make sure that we're talking about severely putting the word severe in front of the medical condition, so that was a good change. And working with my colleague on the Finance Committee from District 29, we precluded folks that had been convicted of felony sexual assaults from being eligible for this. And she'll kill me for this, but I'm going to call that the Lorelei Amendment. With that, I commend passage of the bill.
Further debate? Question before the House, passage of committee substitute for House Bill 229, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk lock the roll? Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk tally the board.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed committee substitute for House Bill 229, Finance, unanimously. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
There's a citation on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I would ask unanimous consent that the citation on today's calendar be approved.
Objection. The citation on today's calendar will be approved, which brings us to unfinished business. At this time, I'm giving House Bill 2 1/4, that is House Bill 225, Monopoly and Restraint of Trade Action, finance referral, since it has picked up a fiscal note. Further unfinished business. Representative Anderson.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that SB 64, an act relating to a requirement that certain consumer reporting agencies provide individuals with certain information without charge, be waived from Labor and Commerce and moved into its next assignment in the Judiciary Committee, and I do have all the member signatures for that bill.
Senate Bill 164, without objection. Is waived. Representative Anderson, you said 64? Senate Bill 64 is waived from Labor and Commerce. We'll end up in the lap of our Judiciary Chair. Further unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Anderson be excused from the call of the House from 8:30 a.m. until 11 a.m. Tuesday, May 6th, and that Representative Crawford be excused from the call of the House from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. Tuesday, May 6th.
Without objection, we'll show both of those members excused from the call of the House on the date and times so indicated by our good Majority Leader. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the Senate amendments for committee substitute for House Bill 52 Judiciary. And Mr. Speaker, the representative from District 28 will explain the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, we will so enter into our limbo file.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you. This is a good bill made even better in the other body. The senator from Eagle River actually incorporated a bill that he had relating to the distribution of services involved in child pornography and the billing, collection, or other ancillary services for those activities supporting child pornography. It was a bill that the senator from Eagle River had, and when it came over to the other body's Judiciary Committee, he asked me whether or not I would be willing to incorporate it into my bill. I did. I think it's fantastic. Mr. Speaker, we don't know of any companies to date that provide these kind of services here in the state of Alaska, fortunately. Those services, again, being billing, collection, or other ancillary services involved in the distribution of child pornography. But we want to make sure that that never does occur in the state of Alaska. And one of the things we know about getting at child pornography is that usually if you follow the money trail, you're going to be able to get at it more effectively than some of the other methods that we have tried. So if members will recall, this is the bill that allows for a judge to mandate forfeiture of those items used in child pornography, indecent viewing or photography, and so on. And it's just a good bill made better. So I would ask for members' support in concurring.
Thank you, Representative McGuire. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I just want to be clear, the addition from the other body is in Section 3, page lines 19 and 20. I have a question then. This seems very close to being constitutionally suspect on vagueness grounds, whether, for example, providing billing, collection, or other ancillary services for otherwise supporting these activities. If, for example, a bill was sent through the U.S. mail or sent FedEx or went in somebody's truck to be delivered. These are very vague terms. I was wondering if those issues were addressed, because I would hate to see the entire statute invalidated on account of the overbreadth here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This particular bill was patterned after bills in other states, and I don't recall which states those were right now, but the language was identical. There was no discussion regarding that, but the testimony seemed clear that you'd be able to decide what those services were. I think it's worth taking a stab at it. What we know is that child pornography is a crime, and so those services associated with it are not constitutionally protected, different than going at all of the things surrounding distribution of other types of computer servers or things like that. So I think that it's would be upheld. But beyond that, the corpus of the bill, Section 1 and Section 2 would be upheld anyway. They relate to a different section of the law.
Mr. Minority Leader, we'll stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Mr. Norrie, Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. You know, one of the critical problems after discussion with the Judiciary Chair that we're going to disagree on is about providing billing, collection, or other ancillary services. I don't know much about these kind of child pornography things. She was the one who taught me, but actually goes on. I might get one of those computer breaks that my friend from District 30 keeps insisting to get. But it seems to me, the way she explained it to me, child pornography will show up on someone's computer. If they want to purchase it, then they've got to enter their credit card number in, or they've got to receive billing somehow. And my thought was, if that's the case, then the credit card company would be exposing itself to criminal liability because it's providing billing collection or other ancillary service. I mean, how do you know about the billing collection unless the credit card company tells you about it, or otherwise supporting those activities? And just focusing on the billing situation. It would be, you know, if I were an aggressive prosecutor, which I once upon a time used to be, and I wanted to go after these child pornography rings that were using the internet, I'd go after the money. That's what we did with Al-Qaeda right after September 11th. We went after the money. Well, that's what I would do here. So I would go after the credit card companies in the hopes that not only would I be able to get the credit card companies for their complicity in the problem, but that I would be able to use their offices in order to help shut down the pornography distributors, those who are actually doing the distribution. I don't think that's really the intent of this legislation, to go after credit card companies. I mean, if it were, that's great. Maybe it should be. But because we have a very difficult time describing and defining what billing collection and other ancillary services for or otherwise supporting these activities is, we're going to have a chilling effect on lawful activities. It's going to be very difficult for people who might lawfully be conducting their business to know when they've crossed the line or have crossed the line. I mean, is the airplane that flies the bill providing other support? So I would suggest that we not concur with the other body. I appreciate the sentiment of that's contained in this amendment, but I think it's overbroad. I think it takes us places the original legislation didn't contemplate heading, and invites some constitutional scrutiny that we oughtn't to have.
Representative Weirach?
Mr. Speaker, I'm rising in support of this language. Certainly it's not the intent, perhaps, to sweep in a very broad net. I mean, you could say, well, it was on a Dell computer, therefore Dell had some role in helping in the distribution, or ACS because it went over their wire to help in the distribution. But I don't think that this is unconstitutionally vague. And I also believe, you can get lawyers on both sides to argue that. That's what they'll get paid for. And there may be a challenge, and I think it will fail anyway. But I think that if there's distribution of this kind of offensive activity on the internet, then credit card companies better darn well know that they are not going to be a tool to help in the distribution of this. And if they are, they will not allow their card to be used to help in the distribution. And that's the kind of outrageous activity that we should prohibit as a policy of this legislature. And therefore, I think it's a great idea to add this, and I strongly support it.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the comments from the member from District 4. And also just want to give the members some comfort that it's difficult when you look at a piece of legislation oftentimes because it doesn't contain the entire statute. So you're micromanaging and looking at a component, a subsection of a bill many times. So I just want the members to understand that Section D is a part of a much broader statute on the distribution of child pornography as a whole, and that is Alaska Statute 11.61.125. And Mr. Speaker, I just want to make it clear that there are two words within that statute that ought to give members some comfort that this isn't overly broad. It defines the crime itself and says that distribution itself has to be with intent to distribute any material that visually or orally depicts conduct described in, and then it refers back to child pornography, knowing, again, another mental state, that the production of the material involved the use of a child under 18 years of age who engaged in the conduct. So, Mr. Speaker, distribution has to be done with the intent, and it has to be done knowing, in fact, that the child is under 18 years of age that's involved in the conduct. So I don't think it's overly broad, and I think it's a good addition. I would urge members to support the convention.
Thank you, Representative McGuire. Further debate? Mr. Majority Leader, did you make the motion to concur already?
Thank you for waking me up. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 52, Judiciary, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 52, State Affairs, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Question before the House is, shall the House concur in Senate changes to committee substitute for House Bill 52, Judiciary, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 52, State Affairs? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lack the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
35 yeas, 2 nays.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes committee substitute for House Bill 52, Judiciary, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for House Bill 52, State Affairs. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate concurrent resolution number 9 be taken up as a special order of business at this time, which is the title change to the previous bill.
Without objection, we have Senate concurrent resolution 9, the title change to the bill that was just passed.
And I would move the resolution.
Objection. The resolution is before us. Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Senate concurrent resolution 9? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk like the roll? Does anyone wish to change the vote? Clerk, tally the board.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed Senate concurrent resolution 9, title change to House Bill 52. Mr. Majority Leader, any further unfinished business?
Move and ask unanimous consent that the members go into the limbo file at this time and take up House Bill 69, which we've seen before.
Without objection.
And
back
a member
in
from
the limbo
district,
file.
Member from District 14 will speak.
Representative Coring.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House rescind its action in failing to concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 69.
There is an objection. Question before the House. Shall the House rescind its previous action in failing to concur with the Senate changes to House Bill 69? Representative Corn, you seeking the floor?
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to place a call on the House.
There's nobody to call. We're all here. Debate? Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House rescind its action not concurring with the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 69 resources? Members may proceed to vote. Lack the roll. Anyone wish to change your vote? Clerk, tally the board.
27 yeas, 10 nays.
And so the House has rescinded its action, not concurring with Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 69, Resources. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 69, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 69, Resources, and recommend that the members vote.
Vote?
Vote, yes. I'm sorry.
Vote. It's a debate. Are you ready for the question? Here is debate. Representative Seaton.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. We talked about this at length the other day. I would just like to remind the body that what happened was we've approved 38-0 this bill, went across to the other side, was added a provision in sections 4 and 6, which allows the commissioner of DNR to override not only local planning and zoning functions, but also any other requirements and ordinances of local governments. As we know, there is language similar to this that allows the governor, an elected official, to override for public projects, but this is the first time that we will have a non-elected official that can override local zoning ordinances for private projects, even though that is working under gas, in this case, that has been leased, is still private projects, private development. This provision rose out of two circumstances, one with a company in the Matsu Borough where they wanted to cross railroad tracks, not with equipment, not at a crossing, and there was some delay in getting that permit from the borough or the city, and the problem is of liability that will be incurred if that permit is not granted. Waiving that permit process seems to me to be a bad situation in which we are going to incur liability for derailment of trains if any damage to those tracks occurs without the permit and the requirement of the permit. The other situation that arose to generate this proposal is that another shallow well gas company down in Montana had a tax per well put on by the county. And so their interest in this was overriding the taxing authority, local taxing authorities. You have a legal opinion. I guess there's two conflicting legal opinions as to whether this Section 4 is specific enough to limit this to shallow well gas or whether it could be applied to other things. And this is my main concern, is that we are setting a precedent and we are modeling in language into the statutes that allow a agency to overrule local planning and zoning and other ordinances of localities, and I fear that this might well become a typical thing that is added for other agencies to override local decisions. I think as a Republican that we should make the regulations at the most local level that we need to, and we should only override by elected officials in severe cases. And so I ask the body to not concur with the change in the Senate.
Representative Roberg.
Mr. Speaker, to the extent that there is any ambiguity, I'd like to state for the record that it's the intent of the legislature, I believe, in drafting this, and the sponsors, that this provision only relate to shallow natural gas. Therefore, I rise to support concurrence.
Thank you, Representative Roper. Further debate? Seeing none. House standard ease. House come back to order. Further debate. Are you ready for the question? The question before the House is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes to House Bill 69, thus adopting Senate committee substitute to House Bill 69, resources? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, clock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
26 yeas, 11 nays.
So the House has concurred in the Senate changes to House Bill 69, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 69 resources. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move the effective date.
The motion before us is the adoption of the effective date clause. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the, I'm not sure whether that's a promotion or not, but I have a question. I have a procedural question. If a conference committee occurs and somehow deadlocks on the effective date issue, is limited free conference subsequently available based on somewhere down the line?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I think the conference at this point would be on the effective date only. And we fail that then the free conference, I think, would be limited at that point to the place where we fail to agree.
But if further disagreement continues to exist.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I think there will be further disagreement. So at this point, I think it would be unwise to look beyond the conference committee to the effect of it.
Sorry I promoted you. You know what they say? Don't be irreplaceable. If you can't be replaced, you can't be promoted. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I talked with Tam Cook, our legislative legal, this morning, and was informed that the effective date, if it failed here, that would be the only thing that a conference committee could deal with. It wouldn't deal with the whole bill. However, after that point, a free conference would be able to deal with the entire bill. And so I'm just letting everybody know that. However, I am not suggesting that we should turn down the effective date.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. That is a correct assessment on how the process works. Representative Harris.
Mr. Chairman, just a point of notification that conference committee members would have to request that, and I would venture to say that there's probably not a lot of likelihood that that will be concurrence from the conference committee.
Representative Croft, this is an effective date clause.
It looks like we're at the end of the road for HB 69. I mean, this was the last effective way to get to some kind of resolution on that issue. It looks like it's not going to pan out. I'd just like to say, we'll vote on this and it'll be done. I believe, rarely make predictions on these floors. So far, they've all turned out to be true, mainly on losing subsistence litigation and other things. But we will see this again. Overriding that municipal authority will come back. A lot of things we do here aren't very noticed, but a lot of cleanup things and all that. Maybe a while, but when this happens in someone's backyard and they complain to you and they find out we did this, we allowed this override, I'm predicting here and now we'll hear about this again and we'll have to fix it.
Further debate on the effective date clause. Was there an objection, Mr. Minority Leader? There was an objection. The question before the House is the adoption of the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
28 yeas, 9 nays.
And so the House has concurred in the, has adopted the effective date clause. Mr. Majority Leader, is there any further unfinished business?
No, sir.
Okay. That brings us down to committee announcements. Representative Wyrock.
State Affairs will meet at 7:45 tonight to finish the 157 APOC bill, if possible.
State Affairs continuing their efforts. Representative Fate.
House Resources Committee will meet tonight, 15 minutes after the adjournment of this House session.
Resources, 15 minutes after the adjournment. Further committee announcements. General announcements. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have two members of the Federal Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services that are going to be here in town tomorrow and the next day. And they are requesting some informal meetings with people that have questions and concerns about Medicaid and Medicare costs, concerns that they might have. And anyway, so there will be available tomorrow at 9:00 in the morning in the Hess room an opportunity to ask questions and express our views to those representatives. So anybody that does have questions or concerns, please come to them and we will be able to ask questions and see what they have to say about these issues.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Gruenberg was previously excused from the call of the House from 1:15 p.m. until 2 p.m. Tuesday, May 6th, and I move and ask unanimous consent that the absence be amended to reflect that he will be excused from a call to the House from 1:45 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. Tuesday, May 6th.
Without objection, Representative Bloomberg will be shown excused in the amended times as indicated by the Majority Leader. Is there further unfinished business? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on HB 229.
Reconsideration is given on House Bill 229. Further unfinished business? Special orders? Representative Guttenberg.
Chair, growing numbers.
Without objection, we hear about growing numbers.
Thank you. I would just like to remind all members of this body that tomorrow our numbers are expected to grow as it relates to the representative from District 38. So our wishes are with her.
Further special orders. Representative Wyrock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to say a welcome. Topic's welcome.
Without objection.
The first cruise ship of the season, the New Amsterdam, pulled into port in Juneau today. And we want to welcome all those visitors from around the world that come to Alaska on our cruise ships. And to all those communities, we extend a hearty welcome to them and wish them safe journeys and enjoy their time. Enjoy the beautiful weather here in Juneau and everywhere else they may visit Alaska.
Thank you, Representative Wyrock. Let's hope they don't have short arms and deep pockets. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Role models?
Without objection, it's here about role models.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. If members had gotten the Sunday newspaper, the biggest newspaper in Alaska, I've got some Dragon Slayers, the Aniak Dragon Slayers, and they're the second time they made the Anchorage paper. Not only did they make the Anchorage paper, earlier they made People's Magazine, Reader's Digest, and they were in Oprah. And I'm very proud of the Aniak Dragon Slayers. In fact, there's another group that's forming. It's a younger model, and they're calling themselves the Lizard Slayers. Thank you.
Here, here. Further special orders. Well, on this day in 1939, the Juneau City Council ordered police to enforce a law forbidding obstruction of sidewalks. Apparently, citizens had complained that local merchants displaying their wares on the narrow downtown sidewalks. Some things never change. And it's Cinco de Mayo in Mexico today, as well as here in Juneau, marking the day when Mexican troops defeated Napoleon's invading forces back in 1862. And not to be too critical, but before you criticize someone, you should walk a mile in his or her shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you're a mile away and you have their shoes. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 6th.
Adjourn until tomorrow, 10 a.m.